Monday afternoon edition of the show. Programming note, we will not be with you at 3 o'clock tomorrow. We will be watching the Tennessee Baseball Vols. We will be with you as soon as the game is over, taking your phone calls on a special voluntary drive.
Voluntary drive?
Yes.
Very nice.
I feel like we've done a few of these in basketball, right? Wasn't there a tournament game that, a conference tournament game that we were a little late getting
on? Yes, there definitely was. Can't remember what it was, though.
It's fun. I like it. And it gives us a few extra hours off during the day, too. So, Rick, what do you got? Top five at five.
All right, here we go, gentlemen. Your top five at five. Number one, Stanford has opened up their lead once again on Arizona. That score is currently 14-5.
Mercy.
In the top of the seventh. It seems like Stanford is going to advance to their next round. It seems like Arizona will be out the door here in their first round two College World Series game.
Yeah, and Stanford smoked. Who did they put? Was it NC State?
No, so they lost to NC State.
That's right.
So this is the loser game because NC State came out and they just looked hot. Everything they did against Arkansas carried over. They looked real good. They were hitting some bombs early. And they won that game by 6. And now Stanford's going to get their revenge and win by like 10.
The revenge of the Cardinal. Good for them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's some hope for us. Maybe our bats wake up
in
a similar fashion tomorrow.
Just don't pull in Arizona.
I would love to be sitting here up 14-5 this time tomorrow.
That would be nice. That would be very nice. All right.
Seventh.
Number two. Guys, the Supreme Court of the United States has unanimously affirmed a ruling here on Monday that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated and also opens the door for other potential future opportunities such as unlimited compensation as long as it is in some way connected to their education. Big rulings here unanimously from the United States Supreme Court today about college athletics.
See what it means going forward. It certainly feels like the NCAA is going to have to reinvent itself.
Yes, it does. Seems like we're going to get a brand new NCAA. And, 10 years from now, we might look back on the current system, just think it was so, so different than what we have now.
Well, I saw Clay Travis had tweeted, in 5 years, people are going to look back at NCAA extra benefit violations and think, man, that's so silly. Like, what a dumb thing. Well, that's what we're investigating ourselves for, basically. It would really suck to be the last school to ever get hammered for extra benefits.
It's like
the most Tennessee thing ever, though.
But on the other hand, it could be a manna from heaven if we somehow wiggle off the hook because of these other things that have happened that really had nothing to do with what Jeremy Pruitt did at Tennessee.
It's like Johnny Manziel. I mean, Johnny Manziel got in so much trouble for what? Signing a couple things? If he was only in the
league.
Well, maybe more than a couple of things, but at the end of the day, it was pretty much just autographs, right? 5 years later, he could easily be doing
that. Did you see how that worked? They'd leave all that stuff in a hotel room, and then when he got done signing all of it,
you just walk out, right? Just
no, they would text him the combination of the safe where his money was.
Walk out.
Wow.
And, what's wrong with that? I mean, why can't they just walk in
Not
there and pay?
Not a thing.
Him?
Who's that old arthritis guy? What's his name? That garbage running back from Georgia who I hated.
That old arthritis guy, Herschel Walker?
No.
Recent? Todd Gurley?
Gurley.
Todd Gurley.
Remember, Gurley got in all that trouble.
Well, yeah, A.J. Green.
Yeah.
Was suspended for, 4 games that year at Georgia for selling his jerseys on eBay.
And now what's his name? Sweater vest guy up at Ohio State. I mean, he got fired.
Yeah.
And I hate Ohio State almost as much as I hate Georgia. Similar colors. And, that guy did nothing.
Well, and as I understand it, that will be perfectly legal under the new NIL laws. You can go up there and, how many guys are we going to have turning themselves into walking billboards for local tattoo parlors.
Hey, I'd do it.
Check out my new ink. Thanks to so-and-so over at such-and-such. Free tattoo.
It's one of the we got a ton of tattoo places here in town.
All right, here we
go.
Maybe
that's the ticket.
They don't need to be doing them over there at Stokely anymore.
Looking for a business idea. Open up a tattoo shop. Let's go.
Oh, that's what you're going to do?
They do their own tattoos in Stokely? Like it's a damn prison or something?
I mean, they used to. I know a really, really funny story. One of the trainers back in the day used to work for me. She told me one of the funniest stories ever. And one of the football players, what he got tattooed on his arm.
Okay.
But.
Me and Russ kind of know him now, so we're not going to.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
You know how many thousands of people are driving around right now? Okay, Bear, what's the funny tattoo we got? You don't have to say who it is. Just tell them what it is. What do you get?
It said biggest balla. And the story I heard was it was Jesus, a tattoo of Jesus with money raining on him.
Somebody making it rain on Jesus.
Yeah, and then the trainer kind of clowned him for it, called him out.
Yeah, it's a terrible tattoo. Is that somebody you know? Is he going to come looking for me
no,
now?
No, we're not going to say anything about it. We do know him, though.
No.
It's been a minute since we've seen him.
Huh. All right, go ahead, Rick.
All right, here we go. Number three. Bear, this goes back to something that you and I have talked about many, many, many times. Beginning with today's games, pitchers in Major League Baseball will be ejected or suspended for using illegal foreign substances to doctor the baseballs that MLB ramps, as MLB ramps up its enforcement of the rules. The spider tack, no more. Any other of these sticky substances, no more. The umpires are cracking down.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm all about the spider tack.
There's still a lot of questions.
Look, when I was a kid, I was a huge fan of the Necro Brothers. I'm all about pitchers pulling stuff and doctoring stuff. I don't think they should check before every game and shake them down and all that silly stuff. But just keep the rules like they have been. You know, if they want to carry a nail file, a thumb tack, you know, spider tack, Vaseline, if they want to rub a little pine tar on their, you know,
they
want to
inject themselves with horse steroids,
who cares?
Just go for it.
If somebody is caught with a substance that is deemed to be against the rules, it says here, according to ESPN, he will be immediately ejected and suspended for 10 days without pay. The team cannot replace the player on the roster.
I'll tell you what I'd do. I would be betting the over on FanDuel on scores, as I think we're getting ready to see scores go way up. See a lot more hits, a lot more home runs. These guys aren't going to be able to put as much action on the baseball, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. That's interesting.
That spider tack stuff is incredible.
Yeah, but where do you draw the line? I mean,
you got to turn your mic on, dude.
Yeah, we'll get you set up here during the break. I don't know, man. Call me crazy. I think you ought to be able to do it naturally. And see what you got, man.
You can't throw some of the nasty stuff those guys throw right now.
You just want to, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. You want an even playing field. If I don't know, man. Satchel Paige didn't need no spider tack.
I guarantee
you. Walter Johnson didn't need no spider tack.
I guarantee all those guys were doing something.
You think Greg Maddux was doctoring his ball?
Hell yeah.
He's throwing an 89-mile-per-hour sinker. He'd tell you exactly what's coming. You won't even swing at it. That's a pitcher right there.
Okay. Believe whatever you want.
Here we go. Moving on. Number four. A couple of names have been added to the USA men's basketball roster for the Tokyo Olympics. Bam Adebayo and James Harden have committed to play. Steph Curry and Donovan Mitchell have declined to play. So right now, your eight commitments confirmed by ESPN: Bam Adebayo, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, and Damian Lillard.
No Ben Simmons on that list?
You know, Ben Simmons is not on this list, but he might not even be in Philly for very much longer, according to select reports.
Well, that was sad.
He can't shoot. He couldn't shoot in college. He can't shoot now.
Basketball players could get the yips, too.
Does he have the yips, or I mean, is he just kind of a coward when it comes to the end of the game?
I'm not even saying that. To get the yips, you have to have been decent at it. He has never been good at shooting. I swear to God, last night wasn't a shot. He sucked at LSU.
Last night wasn't a shot. I mean, you're 6'10", and you have a wide-open dunk. Trey Young is on – noted shot blocker, rim protector. Trey Young is 5 feet away from you on the other side of the room. You just dunk it. You just put it in. Like, if anybody – you don't even have to have any athleticism. You're 6'10". You just dunk the ball, and he passed it. And by the way, did you see where Embiid just kind of threw him under the bus afterwards? He was like, well, we were in a tight game, and we had a point-blank range for a dunk. We only ended up getting 1 point out of it. And he's like, damn.
He did. Well, look, if I had a point guard who couldn't shoot either, I'd probably be in the same direction. Here we go. Last but not least, number five, an aquarium in Connecticut has, I guess, come up with a plan to raise a little bit of money. They have recently had arrived five beluga whales to help raise money for their care and to offset costs of transporting. So to do that, they're auctioning off basically the chance to name three of these five beluga whales. So, of course, my question to you, if you had three beluga whales to name, what would you name them? Does anything come to mind?
Larry, Moe, and Curly?
Moby Dick?
I don't know. How much would you
Houston
bid?
Houston, Nate, and Davey.
How much would you bid to name a beluga whale? What's a?
Oh, that's good. Okay, so it says
zero.
Here, the aquarium hopes to raise $4 million at the auction, which also includes some donated art and a couple of other things. So maybe you can say, what, a million apiece? A million?
A million apiece? $3 million just to name some whales?
It's not where your money's going?
So hey, maybe if I had $3 million to bid on something.
Since we're on the subject of animals, the elephants.
Yeah.
Crew of elephants have been rampaging down through, I guess, China.
Really?
Yeah, they're still going.
Oh, wow. I got to look.
Have you ever seen beluga whales?
No, but they are just massive, aren't
they've
they?
They're pretty damn big. They've got them at the Georgia Aquarium in Atlanta. They've got a big tank full of them.
Yeah, big tank.
It's huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's just as big as the Bering Sea.
All right. Bear's got a hate on the aquarium. Thank you, Rick. Top five at five. Back to the phones.
It's a herd of migrating wild elephants.
You would not want to get in front of them if they wanted something to eat.
Let's get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here next. TJ, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
What's up, fellas? Heading to a military softball game. Gonna get out there and dust off the old cleats and the gloves and play a little ball or not.
I just don't want to hear about any sprained ankles or popped Achilles or anything like that tomorrow.
If he's wearing cleats, he's softball guy.
Oh, no. I tore my Achilles 10 years ago. That thing's recovered. We're good.
If it's torn once, it can be torn again, my friend.
No, it's recovered.
It's recovered. Hey, look, I'm going to go on a tangent real fast with this pitching thing. I played baseball for 20 years. I know anybody who says that, your first thought's like, oh, God, here we go.
Here we go. TJ's going to have his Uncle Rico moment. Go ahead, TJ.
That's right. But if you listen to Tyler Glasnow's interview last week, 3 days after they come out with this, he went and pitched 7 innings cold turkey using no sunscreen, no nothing like that. And guess what happened? He blew his forearm out. These guys, if you watch what happens with these guys pitching, they barely have the ball in their hands. They're just gripping it with their fingertips, and they're allowed to do that because they have grip on the ball. Without grip, they're going to have to basically choke the baseball now, which is going to put more strain on their forearm and elbow. Guess what happens when you shatter your elbow or you strain your forearm? Tommy John surgery. You're about to see a ton of guys through the MLB because they're about to get hurt and ruin their careers because they can't even have, like, where do you draw the line? Are the batters allowed to have pine tar anymore? Where is the line drawn?
I don't know. That's a good question. But I think it's one of those things. It's like obscenity. You know it when you see it. Guy's got a nail file. He's working the ball. You know, spider tack is like something that's designed. If you're keeping it on your hat or on your glove as something to doctor the ball with a foreign substance, I don't know. That just feels like a bridge too far to me. And as far as players getting injured, I guess what I would say, TJ, is, well, you shouldn't have started in the first place. And I'm sorry if you have to adjust now to the fact that you can't blatantly cheat anymore, but I mean, there are rules in the rule book, and now there's a punishment for it, and you're going to have to adjust just the way players have to adjust for who are on steroids or whatever they're doing and were being randomly tested and couldn't take what they were taking beforehand. So I don't know. That's kind of my gut feeling on it.
Hey, look, if Tom Brady can have deflated balls in the biggest game of the season, let these pitchers throw whatever they want. And they're not getting rotation on the ball. It's only for grip. Y'all have a good one, man.
They're not getting rotation on the ball. It's only for grip.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. They showed it in slow motion on it was either on ESPN or Fox Sports. You watch the baseball leaving their hand.
Yeah, I mean, you can measure the revolutions on the baseball. That's what they've been doing. It's gone way up, and it's no coincidence that you're seeing all these no-hitters and lower power numbers and stuff like that. They'll adjust. Did you see the story about the guy who had Tommy John surgery at, I think it was like George Mason or someone, who ended up dying?
No. What killed him?
Oh, yes, I actually did. He complications from the surgery,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they weren't very specific about it, but he had Tommy John surgery and ended up passing away. Very young. I think he was Korean pitching was it George Mason? Or
that is correct. George Mason. His name was he was a freshman pitcher named Sang-ho Baek. I believe I'm saying that right. I hope I am. But he died on June 12th, due to complications from the ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction. Only 20 years old. That is devastating, man.
Isn't that the ligament that R.A. Dickey did not have? He was born without?
I'm not sure.
Remember that story?
Vaguely.
R.A. Dickey, who was Tennessee's ace pitcher in 1995 and a famous knuckleballer with the Rangers for many years, was, I believe, a first-round draft pick of the Rangers back in 95 or 96. And when he went through his physical with the Rangers, they found out he just did not have one of the major ligaments that you're supposed to have
right
in your elbow, and ended up losing out on it. It cost him millions because they didn't think he was going to have much of a career, and he ended up pitching in the big leagues for well over 10 years.
Yeah, he's taken 18th overall in the first round in 96, and you're like, hey, this is supposed to be our guy. This is a huge thing. And then they get into the medical room, and they're like, whoa, you're missing a ligament, dude.
And you're in the elbow, your pitching elbow.
His stuff was nasty, dude.
Yeah, he was really good, obviously, back in the day for Tennessee and in the big leagues. 865-546-8200, your number. Got some Tennessee football current information we'll share with you coming up after the break. More of your phone calls as well. The Drive continues. Stay with us.
The Drive.
The Axe House in Sevierville and Pigeon. On the Drive Fan Run Radio, we have breaking news on the football scene. Let's head to the Fan Run breaking news desk. University of Tennessee football players Caden Salter and Damari McNeil face misdemeanor charges that include simple possession after being stopped in a vehicle early Saturday on the Cumberland Avenue Strip. For freshman quarterback Salter, this is the second time he's faced police scrutiny in just 3 months. He was suspended in March and reinstated by Coach Josh Heupel earlier this month after being among four players accused in an incident at Stokely Hall on campus. UT Athletics statement says, we are aware of the incident and are awaiting further information.
I love how they're always aware of the incident.
you're evaluating. Or what was Fulmer's go-to? We're going to let the legal process play out. Well, sir, you have a couple of players accused of attempted murder. Well, I'm no lawyer. We're going to let the legal system play out here before we make any kind of decision. All right.
Let's start. I'm looking at a video here. They're DeGrom from the Mets, man. They shook him down.
I am, too. They just posted a video 1 minute ago of the guy getting busted with the thing. But
according to UTPD police log, other minor charges Saturday lodged against Salter included driving without a license, display of registration plates, violation of the light law, and confiscation.
Man, don't you?
So he's riding around with a sack, no taillights.
3 months after being involved in a botched strong arm delivery, whatever.
Yeah.
Robbery.
With no driver's license.
And a tinted license plate cover. It's not like having no taillights and a tinted license plate cover is not going to get the attention of law enforcement.
You know, Russell, I really like what you said a second ago, and just everything that kind of goes into what this offseason is. Look, it's your first time to make an impression on this university,
didn't
get a chance to start out great. And now, look, I get it. I was a college guy a couple years ago. They got busted at 3 a.m. on campus, right, on a Saturday night. We've been there. But you have to be so much smarter, man, if you're a representative of the football team. If you're a quarterback, if you are a highly touted player – and specifically, if you're a guy who just got out of being in trouble and it made you miss your entire first spring practice because of it, and this is what you're going to go do now? It's just a bad look.
What do you do? If you're Heupel, if this were a first offense, you get pulled over, you forgot your license, you got a little weed in the car, okay, you're going to be doing some runs in the morning or something. Dude, you just got... you're lucky to be on the team. Two of the guys that were involved in that first incident got kicked out of school.
Right.
You were playing with fire. Your poor father was in the hospital here locally with a severe case of COVID for several months, almost passed away.
Right.
You were given another opportunity to get it right here. And this is not, to be fair, Rick, this is not like you or me getting busted underage drinkers. This guy has a chance to go to the National Football League.
Sure.
Now, if that wasn't a wake-up call 3 months ago, I don't know what it's going to take for this kid. I'm hesitant to throw anybody off the team for marijuana in 2021, but this is a terrible start to Caden Salter's career.
That's just sheer dumbassery. I don't know, especially... you're supposed to be the quarterback.
He's had two drug-related incidents in his first 3 months on campus.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what are you doing?
That's
You can't stay away from the weed for a couple of months?
Well, the first one was – it wasn't even – I would be a lot more understanding if the first one was simple possession, which it sounds like this one was. But
you're a quarterback, too.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He's a quarterback, but you went along on a strong-armed robbery is what you went along on.
There's a different level of leadership that is expected from that position.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, it's not fair. No, it's quarterback, man. Your quarterback has to be a grown-up.
Supposed to be your team leader.
It also says here, according to WBIR, the two players threw the bag out the window.
Salter told the other player to toss it.
Yeah, it says here McNeil admitted to throwing the bag out of the vehicle in hopes of avoiding detection.
Caden Salter's first pass as a UT quarterback, incomplete.
But that's my thing, man. Like, I'm right there with you.
I'm not a grass expert.
If a guy gets busted for marijuana, you're right, in the year 2021, I don't care that much. But if it is my quarterback who is on his second drug offense, it has other linings and layers to it. And the other one, there's a big group of people on campus. And this one, there are numerous issues with the car. Man, I don't care about the weed, but I care that you're not showing any kind of maturity or leadership ability.
Yeah, it's sad because he's a four-star quarterback.
He's got all the physical gifts in the world.
Well, we've had all these conversations about you got five QBs on roster – this town ain't big enough for all five of them.
No,
who's going to be
four
gone
right now?
We were speculating. It's probably going to be Brian Maurer. You know, it looks like he's going to be the odd man out based on how spring practice unfolded. It might be Salter.
Maurer ain't getting busted with weed every 3 months and being involved in strong arm robberies of weed dealers. And what's sad is I've talked to one guy that reffed his games in Texas, and then another buddy of mine who lives down there who has basically watched Salter play throughout his high school career and said, but he's got every physical gift you need if you progress and take care of your business to play at the next level.
I don't know when it got deleted, but did you guys know that Caden Salter's Twitter is no more? The account has been suspended.
Well, this happened Saturday night, so they were able to keep it quiet for 48 hours or so. I imagine.
I think, you know, the only reason they kept that thing quiet for 48 hours is, when did Trey leave for Omaha? I guarantee you, if Wallace isn't in Omaha covering the baseball team, we'd have known about this probably Sunday morning.
Sounds like we've got one of them old-fashioned – it's been so long, I don't even remember what it's called.
You realize probably can hear us right now, I think.
Yeah. Well, we can. You're being heard on the app and on the stream, but our radio audience is listening.
Contraire, one went off the other day. I was listening to three and – it was an Amber Alert on three and out on the app.
It went over the stream?
Well, your phone. It doesn't go over the stream, but your phone goes crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, people – the podcast, I mean, they're – there are people listening to this who will not hear the EAS test that is going off right now.
Are we about to just get blasted?
Looks that way, yeah.
Not like big storm, big thunderstorm coming through.
Very nice.
Batten down the hatches.
A gully washer.
Yeah, it's sad that this Salter kid, man. I mean, I don't know. And Josh Heupel, he just had a really good recruiting weekend. A couple of really nice offensive line prospects came in, including one that it sounds like committed silently. You've got another big weekend coming up this week with several really highly touted in-state wide receivers coming in to visit. I mean, you're fending it off on all sides right now, right? You're trying to recruit against all this negative recruiting against you as the NCAA thing that you inherited continues to loom in the background of everything that you do. And now you got this one knucklehead who can't stay off the weed. Duh.
For me, it's not even so much the weed. It's just the sheer stupidity.
Well, it's bad. It's bad decision making. That's what you want out of quarterback is good decision making.
I don't care that he's got the weed with him, but man, if you're out at 3 a.m. without a driver's license, driving around without headlights or taillights or whatever it was, come on. Come on.
Come on, man.
You're not going to get like a pass because you're a football player.
All right, let's get Jay in here next. Jay, you're on the Drive, Fan Run Radio.
Well, guys, when it rains, it pours, huh? I mean, we're about to lose our baseball coach and star quarterback. Is that, according to Houston, is that about to happen?
The longer this goes on, the madder I'm getting at Vol Rumor Mill. He stirred all this stuff up. That's the whole basis for like that 10-page thread on Tiger droppings. That's the only thing. And the very first post is quoting our Vol Rumor Mill. What the hell are you doing, Houston? You're stirring up controversy.
He's got sources, man. Major League Baseball sources.
He's got Major League Baseball sources, yep.
I think we were dunking on you earlier.
Hey, you know, look, I'm not even ready to entertain that or go there. I don't think that's it. I think Tony Vitello likes it here, but I see a lot of comments online, guys, and about, you know, basically the sense of, you know, if we lose Vitello, Danny White hasn't seen negative or he hasn't seen vicious or whatever.
We're basically taking the gloves off.
Yeah, they're really going to chew him up, basically. But, I mean, is that fair to Danny White? If Danny White's doing everything he can to keep Tony V, if Danny White is going to offer this guy – 1.6, 1.7 million and, you know, do the facility renovations. I mean, at some point, it's just on Vitello, is it not? I mean, it's not like Danny White's lowballing him and then Vitello just leaves because of that. I mean, it sounds like it sounds like from reports is Danny White's trying to do everything he can to keep the guy.
He didn't inherit a great situation. I mean, the sad part about it is we've had so much turnover in the AD's office and the baseball coaching job that all these plans, these renovations that every AD has, renovations for Lindsey Nelson, they have every AD has renovation ideas for Neyland, and they never get done because nobody lasts more than a year or two around here. And if we had done some of this work on Lindsey Nelson the past 10 years, like it ought to have been done, if we already had the seating extended down the third baseline, we'd be a little closer. If we already had the double-deck porch or a better skybox situation, like maybe it wouldn't seem so like such a big job to get Lindsey Nelson. I mean, it feels daunting to get that stadium up to code because it's so far behind everybody else in this conference. So Danny White doesn't have anything to do with that. I mean, he's just doing the best he can right now, trying to shore this situation up, but that's not going to matter to Tennessee fans if this dude walks. They're going to want a scapegoat. They're going to want somebody to blame. And Danny White, with his text a buddy comments, says he's stuck. He did that. You talk about bad decision-making. Kevin Salter, bad decision-making. Danny White, he didn't need to say that, but he did it. He stuck his neck out there. Now he's got a big target on him. And if Tony Vitello leaves, right, wrong, or indifferent, he is going to get a lot of the blame.
Tennessee fans are good at keeping receipts for us, right or wrong.
Yes, they are.
They keep receipts. And I think, unfortunately, Danny would learn that. It may not even be his fault with the Tony V thing, but he's going to learn that. But I think we got a really good chance at keeping Tony. And, I think Tony sees he could be – I mean, he could literally be the Pat Summitt here of ball baseball. You know, Bear Bryant. I mean, he could be the guy where he goes to LSU, he's behind two guys right off the bat. Boom. I mean, you know, he's almost at best, he's what's the guy's name down at Alabama? The guy who won one national title in football. I can't think of his
Gene
name.
Stallings.
Gene Stallings. Yeah, I mean, he's Gene Stallings, where he could be Bear Bryant here. I mean, they would build a statue of him here, you know, sort of deal. So I think that intrigues him. So,
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. Good stuff, Jay. Guys. Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. Portions of our show today brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've been watching the NBA playoffs from the sidelines, now is the perfect time to get in on the action with FanDuel, because the conference finals, new users will get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. So we got the conference finals set now. Clippers, Suns, Hawks, Bucks. Who you got? Go make your bet on FanDuel. 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. What a way to get started. There are even more ways to win on FanDuel throughout the playoffs. And when you do win, getting your money is always a layup, even if you're Ben Simmons. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Plus, the app is so easy to use. Just sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 to bet the NBA Conference Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that's promo code DRIVE1 to unlock 30-1 odds on any playoff team to win their next game exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Let's work in a call from Jamie. Jamie, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, you got to throw Salter off the team. You can't be in this kind of issue with the NCAA and then try to explain why you're keeping him.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I did not think about that angle.
Yeah.
Does one have anything to do with the other? I mean, is the NCAA going to look? Is that something that if you do kick him off, when you do file your report, look, it's a new day at Tennessee. Here's this guy that the previous regime probably would have kept on the team. We went ahead and kicked him off. We're not fooling around here.
Yeah, I think it hurt. I think the degree of hurt it would do is a lot more than the degree of helping. We ain't going anywhere anyway anytime soon. So he probably is the most talented quarterback on the roster, but it looks like, you know, it's a trend. You know, and Barry, y'all were talking about, it's the strong arm robbery. It's not the marijuana, and it's the stupidity of driving around with no tail lights. I mean, everybody's got weed over there, but you just, you know, you drive with your car with the headlights and the tail lights and the signals and speed limit. And I mean, has throwing weed out the window when a cop's behind you ever worked? You think they ain't looking for that?
No, yeah. I mean, they always are.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it was, I mean, I've read the article that, you know, Cole Sullivan and everybody else did over WBIR, and I mean, it was 4 grams, which is a misdemeanor, obviously. I mean, it's a misdemeanor amount. Anymore, it's a citation. But when you start throwing it out the window and, you know, lying, I mean, here's the thing about cops. Once you start off lying to them and trying to deceive them, things go a lot rougher for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like what I've heard. Thing, you know. Wouldn't know.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's like Russ said too, you know, you're a decision maker. You're not a, you know, you're not a defensive tackle. You know, you've got to be counted on to, you know, this guy's decision making is just, it's woeful. So you got to cut him. And like you said, Russ, if nothing else, be like, hey, man, like you said, hey, it's a new day. We're not putting up with this. It's a shame, man. This guy could have, you know.
Yeah.
He was already a hero here because, you know, not a hero, but everybody kind of had a soft spot in their heart for what was going on with his pops. So, I mean.
It might be a good message to send to the rest of the team, to any other people who are engaging in knuckleheadedness, and say, look, man, we're not fooling around here. And I know it, you can't win at this level running a super tight ship. I'm not saying we kick everybody off who fails drug tests or anything like that, but – you want to start off on the right foot. Is there any doubt that if we do end up kicking him off, he will go to NC State and become a first-round draft pick in the next 3 years?
He'll be back.
Or Alabama.
He'll go back to Texas. He'll end up at
Baylor.
Isn't
that funny how that works? Guys, I know y'all snuck me in, so I'll be quick. You were talking about the Supreme Court decision today, and everybody's kind of worried that it's going to look a little different, maybe not so college oriented, but they keep calling them college athletes, you know, can be paid, college being the main word there. So, I mean, doesn't that force them to have an affiliation with a particular school? I mean, maybe I misunderstood what y'all were trying to, what your, you know, concern was down the road.
Well, I think that Haji and, or was it Chad Withrow? I guess it was Chad and Russell. That it college athletics are going to look drastically different.
The problems that to me make the college game better than the pro game are more and more filtering into the college game.
But the big one for me, Jamie, and is going to be when they address workman's comp. And that was originally, I read an article, I'll have to go back and find that, because that's one of my things I've always pounded the drum on. The whole reason that they've clung to this amateur athletic model, one of the big ones is workman's compensation. If they're really employees, if they get hurt on the job, they'll be entitled to workman's compensation.
What about this, guys? You know, there's the cap. Will there be a cap? You know, you look on the map of the United States as the highest paid state employee, and 50 out of 50 has the college, the head football coach for the college. So I'm just, and you know, and that's not, those salaries aren't, you know, they're just, all they're doing is rising and skyrocketing every year. So I'm wondering,
because they don't have to pay their employees. Imagine how much a general manager at a restaurant would make if you didn't have to pay your kitchen or your wait staff or your dish.
I see what you're
staff.
Saying. It's all outside money. I got you. All right. Well, all right, guys. Well, thanks for sneaking me in. It'd be interesting to see which way to go. All I care about is bringing back the old PS5 game, little NCAA.
That will be nice.
Football.
I will dominate Russell in it.
We should do like a little party.
Ha!
Get in there with some of that triple ops. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate the phone call. Quick timeout. Back to wrap things up after this. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in...
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. 865-546-8200. Storms rolling through East Tennessee. Let's get Richard in here next. Richard, you're on The Drive.
Yeah, I had kind of put this Tony Vitello leaving thing on the back burner. I thought that had died down, and he was probably staying. Is there new news the last couple of days?
No, there's no news. There's just a lot of speculation about the LSU job, and you know there was a report. Glenn Gilbo down in Lafayette had reported that the five guys that they were considering at this point were Godwin at ECU, Bianco down at Ole Miss, who announced a contract extension with Ole Miss today, and then three coaches in Omaha, Jay Johnson at Arizona, Tim Corbin at Vandy, and Vitello. So there's just a lot of speculation out there right now. People saying, well, Bianco has taken his name out of the running. Godwin, if they wanted him, they could have him. And so that's not been done yet, obviously. Tim Corbin probably isn't going anywhere because he's got a sweet gig at Vandy. And that leaves Vitello and Jay Johnson. So a lot of people are just kind of worrying about that, I suppose. But, I mean, there's no hard news report out there that Vitello's the guy or that he's had contact or anything like that.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering that. He doesn't have any ties to LSU, and I just got to think it'd be more satisfying to build this program, but I guess we'll see. So thanks.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, that's in the eye of the beholder, right? I mean, it's so hard for us to look at this objectively because we're Tennessee fans. And I mean, the three of us have grown up in it. I mean, it's literally in our blood. But if you are objective and you're looking at it for a guy from, you know, Missouri, he's 42 years old. He's been in Knoxville for 4 years. All right. He's not necessarily one of us. For a guy like that, the LSU job that's a plum job, man. That LSU comes calling.
I guess I would be a lot. Okay.
LSU comes calling. You're going to listen.
I've been listening to you guys for weeks about this silly ass stuff. He didn't go to LSU. I don't think LSU's as great of a job as everybody else thinks it is. After the guy's built the stuff up. Don't you tell me to be quiet.
I'm not arguing.
It's not like it's damn Missouri coming after him. I mean, that's where he played.
You
guys are so warped because of Lane Kiffin and what he did.
You think Missouri is a more attractive job to him than LSU?
No, I'm not. I'm saying I would be more worried, though.
About Missouri?
Yeah, because that's where he played. That's where he went to college.
All right. Well, I mean,
you guys are so warped and so destroyed and distraught still over that Lane Kiffin
we're just having a conversation. This has nothing to do with Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. All right.
You guys, you and Houston both referenced it. Lane Kiffin.
I didn't reference it. I referenced Bruce Pearl leaving was the one I brought up. But you have to, if you're looking at it from his point of view, a guy who's been immersed in college baseball for as long as he has and doesn't have the emotional ties to Tennessee that we have, then, yeah, you're going to listen to LSU. It doesn't mean you're going to crawl on your hands and knees for the job. I'm not saying that. But, yeah, you're probably at least going to be flattered by that and hear them out about what they have to say. But to me, that's where Tennessee has to do their work, right? I mean, you have to go and say, look, you have to make the pitch that we've all made. You can build your own thing here. You can be the General Nealand of Tennessee baseball. You don't want to fall legend. All that stuff is true. And we are going to invest in you. We're going to invest in you as a head coach, make you a wealthy man. We're going to give you money for your assistants. And we are going to transform Lindsey Nelson Stadium into a facility that is on par with what they have at LSU and Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Arkansas, everywhere else. Let's get Westchester in here next. Good afternoon, Westchester.
Guys, this is not why I called, but I'll be quick about this. Bear is Bear is actually right on this one. If Missouri fired their coach tomorrow and called Tony and said, we're going to send a plane for you and we're going to have a meeting on July 8th, and he walked into that meeting and they had signed contracts as far as
you think he would go to Missouri?
Hold on, let me finish. Right. Let me finish. As they walked, he walked in there, they had signed contracts as far as stadium expansion and, you know, contractors to do it and everything they were going to do. And they had they matched the money, they matched the assistant pool, and they said, look, we're serious about you. We know we're you're one of us. I would be more worried about that because the LSU job right now, because of who they're following, not the program, is a worse job than Tennessee. I'm not saying Missouri is a better job. I'm saying it's a fit. So it is a Lane Kiffin living in the middle of the night for USC thing.
Okay,
really is.
Let me ask you this. If we're assuming that Vitello's main concern with Tennessee is financial commitment, facilities, pay, all that stuff, then what is Missouri's financial commitment? Because anybody will tell you that the only stadium worse in the SEC than Lindsey Nelson is up there at Missouri, and he knows that more than anybody else because he's been there.
Right, but if he walks into negotiations and they have signed contracts with the people who are going to renovate it and the plans to get it all done, and we're like, we got you, Tony. We'll take care of you.
Well, that's not going to happen. I mean, first of all, the job's not open, and second of all, I mean, there's been no speculation that he would go there. We're talking about the job that's open, which is LSU, and so.
And I think he would be a fool to take that job.
I don't think he'd be a fool to take it. I wouldn't, and I know the pitch that I would be making him if I were in Tennessee shoes, but no, I mean that's a great job. They're going to pay him well, and he's going to be in a great stadium with a great state and great all the stuff there. I mean, that's not foolish to take the job.
It's better after this next coach, because right now you're still the guy following the guy, and the guy following the guy is not anybody you ever want to be. I think in 3 or 4 years, it's potentially a better program than Tennessee again because of the potential, or at least equal. But I think right now Tennessee is a better job. I just worry about our commitment to that. Guys, as far as the game tomorrow and what happened on, you know, yesterday, I think our guys were just – I really hope it wasn't the Bruce Pearl thing we talked about earlier in the show, but I just think that the guys were a little nervous about their first time being there. They were a little overwhelmed. They had some bad luck. I mean, one ground ball with eyes, and that game is totally different. I watched a ball bounce over a shortstop's glove at 7:05 when I was watching St. Louis and Atlanta in the pro game last night. I mean, Tennessee just had no luck on the hitting. They are the most disciplined, eye-disciplined batting team in the country. And, you know, they just tried to play their game, and they underestimated that pitcher a little bit, I think. And they just got beat, and it's okay. Like Rick said earlier, this team's never lost two games in a row this season. So if they can bounce back tomorrow, even if they get eliminated then on the next game, I think everybody's fine. Nobody just wants to see this team go. Even though getting here is a huge deal. I mean, this is like getting to the Elite Eight in basketball. I think Tennessee fans are just hungry for a win, especially against Texas. But I won't be mad at them personally. I promise you, as negative as I am, I will not say anything negative about Tony if he loses this game tomorrow. Mark the tape.
No, thank you, Westchester. I appreciate it. I mean, we're not going to turn on this guy. I mean, he's been too good to us as a fan base to deserve any of that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Gabe's at 2 tomorrow. We'll be with you as soon as it is done. Big thanks to Rick. Big thanks to Bear. Thank you to Jake Miller for hanging out with us here this afternoon in studio. Overtime up next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.